Hello and welcome to Between Mountains and Sea, a podcast dealing with what it's like to be a creative person living in Northwest Wales. Yes, indeed, welcome to Between Mountains and Sea. As I record this, I'm on holiday and I've a view of the sea through the mist. It's just as good as it was yesterday in the blazing sunshine. In fact, it's probably better. The weather has kept some people away and the scene is even more peaceful than normal. Being on holiday has been a great relief this year. I've been a hermit since the end of February, and this blog has been one of the very few ways that I've communicated with the outside world. I've had very few plans because there doesn't seem to be much point. Now, however, sitting in one of my favourite places in the world, I've started putting plans into action. There are two musical projects coming up. One will be Dilation 2.0, with the same personnel but some changes in the instrumentation. The other is a brand new four-piece. I've played with two of them before, but I don't think the others have played with each other at all. There's a great deal of potential, but we won't know until we get together and play. It's an exciting prospect. It's one of those things about music, is that collaboration between interesting people brings out things from your music that you wouldn't normally have. And that, I think, is one of the great joys. You can be solitary or you can collaborate, and both are perfectly valid. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. I apologise if there's wind noise or other people's noise, but as I say, I'm on holiday and I'm sitting looking out over the sea, and there are other people about, so I'm afraid this is just one of those things. There's a story coming up in a minute. I don't know which story it's going to be because I haven't decided yet, so there, let's take potluck. Red Eye. It's one hell of a nickname. I don't know how he got it or what his real name it was, but he was a sort of a hero of my childhood because he featured in some of my dad's stories, and I loved listening to my dad tell stories. Red Eye was one of those people, you get them everywhere, who like to wager. Not on the horses or the dogs or the turn of a card, but on performance, specifically on his own performance. One occasion they were in a pub after a cricket match in Horndean, where there was a running track. Presence of the track set Red Eye's mind ticking, and he bet a middle-aged member of the team that he, Red Eye, could run two laps of the track and still beat Tony, the middle-aged chap, even if he only ran one lap. The world record for 800 metres is somewhere near a minute and a half. Any moderately fit cricketer should be able to jog around a 400-metre track in that time, which Tony duly did. Red Eye, meanwhile, full of beer and ambition, set off as if pursued by the hordes of hell, and then ran out of steam as reality kicked in and Tony picked up an easy victory. My other favourite Red Eye story also occurred in the pub after a game of cricket. Red Eye maintained that he could put a pickled egg and a sausage in his mouth at the same time, close his mouth and chew and swallow without opening his mouth again. His wager was duly covered, and the comestibles were brought out. The initial part of the procedure went well. Red Eye put the egg in first, with no difficulty. Next, he pushed in the sausage and closed his mouth. At this point, disaster struck. The sausage slipped sideways as his mouth shut, and duly became wedged from cheek to cheek. The egg was behind it, and was far too big for him to bite down on the sausage, and resisted all attempts to dislodge to a position where teeth could be brought into bear. 10 minutes of entertainment for everyone else and futile struggle for Red Eye, and another wager was lost. One of the other things that having a holiday has done is start me reading again. Oh, here comes a car. Hang on. That's better, she's gone off to park elsewhere. Where was I? Oh yes, I've started reading again. One of the things about lockdown, I've lost interest in books as well as in music. So I've been reading Under Heaven by Guy Gavriel Kay. Got that one through, and I'm halfway through his book River of Stars, which is set in the same country but 600 years later. When my dad was dying, one of the things that he lost was his enjoyment of reading. You know, for a man who taught English and history for 40 years, it was very sad to see. Not reading has left me feeling incomplete. And I'm so, so joyful that we've got that back. It makes a hell of a difference. Reading is one of those amazing things. For me, it's like a personal cinema. Because as I read, the images play out like a film in my head. But it's my version. I think that's another thing that's kind of important with arts, is any art, be it literature or music or painting or sculpture, whatever it is, it's designed to provoke a reaction. And that's the whole point. You get your reaction to the art. But the real thing is, it's your reaction. You know, it doesn't... Yes, there is a bearing on what the artist intended and what the image or the work meant to them. But actually, it's the reaction that it provokes in you that is the most important thing. And I'm quite happy for people to listen to my songs or read my stories and come to their own conclusions and derive their own meanings. Sometimes, actually, I had a review once of a song that I wrote that took it to be a much more disturbing song than it was originally, and discussed the idea that it was about depression. And I reread the lyrics and I thought, no, that's, do you know what? That's absolutely spot on. That's much better than what I'd written it for. That's perfect. And, oh, yeah, well, now I do see why it's so disturbing, yes. So that was fascinating. Another one, I wrote a song that was about depression, and it keeps being cited as a song that is enormously uplifting, which is again a very interesting take. And the thing is, it doesn't matter what I actually wrote it about. It's what it means to the people who are on the receiving end. And that's true of all art. And I'm so glad that I'm back with actually receiving other people's art and enjoying it and having the reactions that they do bring up in me. So anyway, I think it's time for another story. What should we have with this time? Well, let's take potluck again. It has been suggested that I should expand my horizons and read work that is not my own. And so this is a poem by Li Bai, one of the greatest of the Tang Dynasty poets, called Seeing Off a Friend. Green hills above the northern wall, white water winding east of the city. On this spot, our single act of parting. The lonely tumbleweed travels 10,000 li. Drifting clouds echo the traveller's thoughts. The setting sun reflects my old friend's feelings. You wave your hand and set off from this place. Your horse whinnies as it leaves. While I've been down here, I noticed a crack in the head of my beautiful elephant walking stick. It doesn't look to be desperately fatal, and when I get home, I will set it up with some wood glue and put it back together properly. But in the meantime, I bought myself a new stick, and it's really rather gorgeous. It's very plain, very simple, very old-fashioned, and it's just an ash shaft with one little branch coming off to form a V at the top for me to put my thumb through. One of the great joys of this is I actually got to speak to the man who made it, and I love that idea. I love handmade things. I love things that are actually, you can see the humanity in their production. This is very much a stripped and then sanded, but still natural looking piece of wood. It's very comfortable to hold. It's a very tactile thing as well. It is really lovely, and it looks fantastic. You know, there are patches of colour on it, where obviously, you know, it's not stripped fully, but it's been sanded back, and those have stayed. It's not absolutely straight, because you know, most trees don't grow 100% straight. So that's rather lovely. It's not a problem, and I'm thoroughly enjoying using it. I did say there would be crowd noise with people wandering around, so sorry about that, but I'm on holiday, so I'm not in front of a microphone at home. I'm on my phone, and accidental noises are just there. And again, I think I'm drawn to natural things. One of the things when we were recording the album, Alan and I were talking about multiple takes of things and strangeness. And actually, we went with the first take on almost every part, simply because it's the freshest and the most natural and the most intimate of takes. When you are really, you're not struggling to say, oh, I must play it correctly this time. I mustn't fluff anything. I mustn't do anything that records. But at the same time, I'm not a great lover of click tracks, so it's quite difficult to drop things in, because I push and pull, and I believe that music should breathe that way, and that, you know, you can speed up and slow down to mirror the emotion of what you're doing. And I think it's important. I mean, excessive rubato is a bit much, but rubato, fantastic. Sounds rude, doesn't it? Like some sort of BDSM practice. But actually, it is the change of tempo down to emotion. And in the Edwardian era, it became so fashionable. It almost destroyed the music that people were playing, because none of it hung together anymore. Which is an aside. Incidentally, asides. That's what I was like when I was a teacher. Anything odd came up as an aside, and I would talk about it quite happily, because I believe that education is about education, which is not what schooling tends to be about, which is learning the things you're supposed to learn and reproducing them in an exam. And I think those two things are very different. Anyway, thank you for listening to this episode of Between Mountains and Sea. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's quite weird doing it, recordings here. Outside, surrounded by other people and looking at a glorious view, but it's rather fun. I might try it from other places. Anyway, thank you very much. That was Between Mountains and Sea, a podcast dealing with what it's like to be a creative person living in North West Wales.